to page 288 and sing this one because I believe this is true. I am never alone. You're never alone because he said, I'll be with you to the ages. I'm not going to leave you. Let's stand and sing this one, 288. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling Mace Tell to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. How many of y'all know that song? You'll get to know it better on the second verse. Let's go. Here we go. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Now I was listening to Linda sing with the little kids up there, then she was singing about this little light of mine. And when you don't cover it with a bushel, what do you say? No, right? Put a little emphasis on it. You don't do it. Okay, when we get down there and you come to that no, I want to hear that no real good. Okay. He died for me on the mountain, for me they pierced his side. For me he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he's waiting in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Isn't that a great song? Now you know it. You can be seated, please. Don't forget the things we talked about this morning. I'll just kind of skim over it a little bit. We have named all the Sundays for April, and the first one is what? Yeah, neighbor. Y'all got a neighbor somewhere that does not go to church, or they would like to change churches and get a good one, right? So go see somebody and invite them to church. And then, of course, the next Sunday is Easter. I'm not going to mess with Easter. Don't have to do anything there, do we? And then next Sunday is friends and family. Next one is co-workers. And then the other one was all others. Go here and run. Go the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We're going to do that. And then every other Sunday, the first, third, and fifth Sunday, we're going to have a little breakfast over here at the Fellowship Hall. I haven't cleared that with Brenda or anybody. I just decided we're going to do it. But Brenda's flexible, and all I got to do is say, we're going to do this, Brenda, and she jumps right on it. Yeah. Don't have to worry about her and Helen getting on stuff like that, babe. They jump on it in a heartbeat. No, no, I'm going to Hardee's and buy biscuits. Yeah, I got to have that too. But we're going to have a good little time there about 9 o'clock. Everybody needs to get up a little earlier and do stuff like that, right? And we'll have some good coffee and milk and orange juice and stuff like that. And we can sit around and talk about the Lord. Amen? How good He is. Okay, don't forget those things now. It's important that we remember those things. It is. If our ushers would come, we'll receive our evening offering. I miss Chris this evening. We'll have to get back to Chris later. Henry, would you bless this offering? Amen.
Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about my Savior's face. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. He's knocking on my front door. He's out trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. I love the easy conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. Brings up my need for salvation. Even though he knows I'm stubborn to a fault. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. Walk by the church Sunday morning. I slipped on in the back door. Sure been a long time coming. Tell me, preacher, what I need to know. His words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. Should have seen my old friend the priest. your smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I long to see my Savior's face. Oh, I long to see my Savior's face.
That song, and he gets me to do it every time he says, and he saw that old preacher smile when he saw that one coming down the aisle. I know I've had that feeling, and I'm sure you have too. If you've been praying for somebody to be saved and you see them come to the altar, there's going to be a smile on your face. It'll probably be on your heart a long time before it hits your face, because you'll know how wonderful God is, that he listens to what you say when you pray for somebody like that. That's good stuff. That's an old song, a new song with an old-time religion meaning, right? Well, isn't that amazing? Because my message tonight is old-time religion. Y'all know about old-time religion? Now, right now, in your mind, you're going back to when you were younger and the church you went to and where they didn't have air conditioning. And they opened the windows, let the wind come through to cool things down a little bit. Even might have had a pot-bellied stove up front to warm the building. I don't know how far back you go. I go back that far. I've preached at a little church over here, right down this way, actually, where they had the pot-bellied stove up front. And I was concerned about some of those people on the front row, because that thing was getting hot around the pipe. Yeah, and we have a lot of other things we think about when we think about old-time religion. And it's okay to do that, you know, to think about what you think old-time religion is. But the Bible has its own definition of old-time religion, and it's probably not anywhere near what you feel like is old-time religion. I feel like the old-time religion is just freedom in the Lord and doing what the Lord wants you to do. If you need to testify, if God says, I want you to tell how good I've been to you, and you don't stand up, you're not practicing old-time religion, because that's what it is. You'll never interrupt me. Did I say that? You'll never interrupt me. If you want to get up and testify, I can shut up real quick so you can tell, because that's the message God wants across. So if you need to testify, you better do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. By the way, that's old-time religion too. If you want to be an old-time religion person, learn to say amen. Thank you. That's men and women too. You're not exempt, women, right? I could just see Marty's face back there when Henry was singing that, tell me one more time about Jesus. Because, buddy, she wants to tell everybody she sees about Jesus. And she wants me to change the song to where Jesus Christ fits in instead of just Christ. And I'm going to try, Marty, to see if I can get that to work, honey. I am. Because she loves Jesus, don't you? Yeah, and what a wonderful name it is. Just the way Jesus rolls off your lips. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture, and it's found in Jude. And since Jude is only a couple pages long, you better know where it's at, or you won't find it in time for me to read that one verse. Verse 3 of Jude. And you want to know what chapter, right? Okay. Verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, I kind of paraphrased that a little bit and said he's talking about old-time religion. Common salvation. people have their own ideas about salvation. God doesn't have a bunch of ideas about salvation. It's pretty plain with him. It's common salvation. It's easy. It's easy to say salvation. We've made it hard. And I don't understand that, why we would not talk about people getting saved. Right? Yeah, we don't. Now, I may be hitting a bad chord there for you. I don't know. But if I have, just practice in the morning when you go out, you're going to say salvation to somebody. Okay? Find a way to do it. It's okay. But we've got to get started somewhere. People need to know that they're lost first. Then they need to know they need to get saved. That's old-time religion. That's what it is. Winning the lost at any cost, whatever it takes, we need to win them. So he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." I like that. "And exhort you," and that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm exhorting you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, and this is where the title comes in, "earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And I'm not going to get into that verse and dig into it. I'm using that just to bring about some things about old time religion, because Jude had a reason for writing this, and he tells us why he did when he said, let me just read it back to you. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you." It was needful. I had to do it. The Lord told him through the Holy Spirit, said, "I want you to tell the people this." And he says, "and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered." Is that what he said? That's what he said. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless these few words of encouragement for us to practice old-time religion. Just what the Bible has to say about it. Lord, we thank you for everything. You're so good to us. Oh, how good you are. You've always been good to us. You always will be. You'll never change, because, Lord, you are. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for all those who are not able to be here tonight, that you'll be wherever they are and meet their needs. Let them know that you're there for them. If they're just in a backslidden state and they need to repent of where they are, Lord, I pray that that'll happen. If they're lost, I pray that they'll find their way to the Word of God that will come in and change their life and make a difference. And Lord, we know they can find that Word here. We're so thankful for everything you've done for us and what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've always wondered why people continue to search for something. I ask people all the time, where do you attend church? And they say, "Well, not going anywhere right now. We just move around. You know, we go to different places." And I said, "Well, have you been to Liberty Fellowship yet?" You think I don't? I do. I say, "Have you been to Liberty Fellowship yet?" "No, where is that?" I tell them where it is. I said, "You haven't been there yet. If you come there, you won't go anywhere else. That'll be your last stop on your search for a good church. So you come right on over." But it seems like people are always searching for what they feel like is old-time religion. You can go to a Baptist, you can go to a Free Will, you can go to a Holiness, Pentecostal, whatever you want to name it, looking for whatever. And some people say, "Well, I feel like there's something missing in the Baptist church. I feel like there's something missing." Well, there's something missing if you're not there. Right? They're probably fine with where they are. It's whatever you determine that you want more of. And if you need more of something else, go find it. But right, here's what we need more of. We don't need to go find out the different ways in which people worship and find one that suits us. I was listening to a church this morning that has a big praise band and everything, and man, they can make some music. They can make a lot of music, and I love music. I love music. I love good preaching. I love to be in a good service, but I'm fine with getting in the Word and worshiping right in here. I don't need a specific service. What we have is fine with me because I'm in the Word. It wouldn't matter. And if you get up and shout, that's okay. That's part of it too. If you get up and raise your hands and cry and praise the Lord, that's part of the service. Now, if you run around the pews, be careful. I don't want you to fall. We have good insurance, but I don't want you to fall. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what you think about old-time religion. There is a definition for it, and we're going to get that. So old Jude, he wrote this to establish the Christians in their faith, their Christian faith. Let's be more obliged to know more about the Lord and to strengthen our faith in Him as opposed to the style of services. Even baptism, you can get caught up in baptism. We believe in baptism, but we don't necessarily say that it's wrong to do it one way or another. I have a little story about that. If I haven't told it to you, raise your hand. Yeah, okay, thank you. You know the Methodists, they do it right here, right? Well, the Methodist was asking the Baptist, said, if you got into the water to your knees, would that person be baptized? He said, no. He said, if you got into your loins, would he be baptized? He said, no. If you got into water up here, would he be baptized? He said, no. He said, if you got into the water up here, would he be baptized? He said, yeah. He said, well, that's good. That's where we do it. That's just a little humor. But because the mode of baptism, I found out when I was going to Bible college up in Bristol that there were so many modes of baptism, and so many people believed that you had to be baptized in running water, still water, warm water, cold water, there so many different ways to baptize. That wasn't the mode of it, wasn't the important part. It wasn't. The baptism was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And if you're baptized, you were showing that. So I hope you were baptized in running water, because you'll never forget it. Especially if it was in a cold month, you'll remember your baptism, right? I couldn't help but think about this song. By the way, I'm going to tell you right now so you'll get ready. In your book, if you will find page 351 there, you don't have to worry about it right now. Just find it and lay it over to the side, because when I get through with this message, we're going to sing that together. You know what it is? Have you turned there yet? Well, yeah. It's that old-time religion. We sing it here. We love it. I love it, man. I tell you, I love it. But that's not, just singing that song's not going to give me old-time religion. The feel of a faster song, more upbeat song, you know, that's not going to give me what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for old-time religion, it's not there. But we know that there are modernists, and we know that there are old-fashioned people, and I'm for old-fashioned. I know I sound like a well-educated man that, and some of you are laughing and you're trying not to. It's okay. Go right ahead and laugh out loud. I am not a modernist, I can tell you that. Because the modernists that we have today, they want to please everybody. I try to make people happy if I can, but there's a cutoff line for me. So if you've never hit that cutoff line, you're okay. I'll keep trying to please you and make you happy. But it's not up to me to please you and make you happy. Right. Amen? Right. Yeah, it's not. But they try to let everybody know that they're fine, they're good, everybody's okay, nobody's lost. Nobody's lost. Well, if they're not lost, they don't need to be found, right? And so they can throw Amazing Grace right out the window because it's not a song they need to sing anyway. So, I don't know how far they go into it. I do know that there's a thing called situation ethics. That's a easy kind of way of telling people it's okay under certain circumstances for you to be unethical or sin. That's not old-time religion. That's not old-fashioned religion, I can tell you. It's not biblical. That's what it's not. You see, old-time religion is the It's the real story that comes from the Word of God right here. And it's true. It's as true as it can be, and it doesn't matter when you read it, morning, noon, or night, it's going to be the same. Man is lost, and Jesus Christ is his way to be saved. That's it. And any way you put it, that's it. The preaching and the believing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I preach the gospel, I like to feel like that gospel is getting to a heart, and that heart is taking it in, and they're saying, ooh, that's good. I want more of that, because that is so good for my soul. Lord, help me to take more of that in. I like to feel like that's what's happening, and I do pray that if you need a message, I don't know that you'll need this message tonight. Hopefully we all need to hear a little bit about it, but let's see where we can get with this, okay? Because the preaching and believing of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is. And it's to everyone that believeth. That's old-time religion. That's old-time believing. Peter preached. And preached hard, and 3,000 souls were saved. I'd like to have been there, wouldn't you? You talk about an old, boy, the modernists couldn't put up that, could they? People just flocking to the altar to get saved because they're crying, weeping because they got sin in their life and they want to get rid of it. So what does old time religion say? We're going to get into a little bit of it. I'm going to share a few things that I happen to look up here. Here we go. When I preach, I want you to know how great God is. So I preach him great. He is. And I would take you to Psalm 8, 3 through 9. Now, if Scott can find that real fast, he can throw it up on the screen. Or if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to it, you go right ahead, because I want you to know that this is the Lord I'm talking about. In Psalm 8, verse 3, he says this. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. By the way, that's not a put down to be a little lower than the angels. That's a level up if you want to know what I'm talking about. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, he said, our Lord, how excellent is the name in all the earth. Now that's the one I want to preach about. Amen. You can preach on that, can't you? Yeah. I mean, you could tell somebody else about that. Tell them about Psalm 8. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how wonderful he is to you, first of all, and then you can tell him he'll be the same for them, because he's not going to change. Old-time religion tells me that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that will never change. You say, I've heard that all my life. If you hang around here, you'll hear it again. I might just tell you one more time before I leave tonight, because it's the truth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that won't change, folks. David said, when I look at all thy works, I wonder that you ever gave thought to man. When I see what you've done, why would you give thought to man? Well, that's old time religion, folks. He's great. He is. And then I would tell you that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, old time religion repeats it. How many times have you sung Amazing Grace? You don't have a number, do you, Lacey? Tell me. No, there is no number. I promise you it's probably in the thousands, because not for some of you younger people, but I love it. I love it. And it never gets old, because it's the truth. And the word never gets old. It's the truth. And so if I tell you that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, I'm not just giving you a Christmas message. I'm telling you that's the way it is. At his virgin birth, that wasn't just good for the Christmas time. It's good for every day. Everybody who gets saved needs to know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and he was born in this world by God himself to be the Savior of all mankind because he loves us. That's old time preaching, old time religion. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. And it's the truth. The Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit's not just for the Pentecostals. It's for every man, woman, boy, and girl who wants a taste of that good fluid stuff that comes from God that will just saturate your body and bless you and warm you and be everything you need to be. He'll talk to you whenever no one else will. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not a thing. He's a person. And he convicts. Praise the Lord, he convicts. When we have things in our life we need to be convicted of, let's let him do the convicting. And when he convicts us, he convinces us that we need to do something about what we found out about ourselves. And he points us to the person who will save us and keep us. Mercy, that's good stuff. He's the third person of the Godhead. And there is power, power, power in the blood. Y'all like to sing that? Wonderful working power. Whoa. Have you ever thought about what's so powerful about the blood? Well, it's his blood. It's his blood, and he shed it for you. That's what makes it good. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. Amen. So there's nothing in your life that can't be cured with some blood. Right. His blood. Not just some blood, his blood. I love those old songs about the blood. I know a lot of people took them out of years ago, took them out of their song books. They'll never leave that old red book. I love that old red book. I know a lot of churches got rid of it and got one about three times as thick. And I told you this not long ago. I know I did. There's about 500 and some songs in it, and they sing about 10. Goodness gracious, there's 400 pages in this thing, and we sing the same 10, 15, 20 songs all the time, right? That's okay. I'm for it. I'm with it. I like to learn a new song every now and then. Now, Tom's big about teaching us a new song, and I showed you a new one tonight. We'll have to do that one again. I'm for that. But I love the old songs, and I'll sing them over and over and over because they never get old to me, because the truth never gets old to me. Never, and it won't. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. Yeah. And life never ends in heaven or hell. Not many preachers talking about hell now, folks. I mean, some of them even spell it out rather than say hell. Why? Because it's a cuss word and it makes you feel bad? No, we need to take the cuss word back. The people who cuss take that, and people have stolen the rainbow. People have stolen the language. The hell and damn have been stolen from the Word of God, and they've made it to mean something else, which is a lot less. Hell is hell. And it's not like, well, this is a hell of a day, or this place is like hell, or where I work is like hell. That's not where that word deserves to be. It's when you're lost and you're going toward your eternal place. If you're lost, you're going to hell. And hell is an eternal place. You'll never get away from it. Never. I know the modernists would like to say, well, God wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. He sure is. He loved you enough for you to see the truth and come to it. And if you don't come to it, he's just loving enough to do what he said he would do too. He will. That's old time preaching, old time believing. It's old time religion. Heaven's where God is. Hell's where Satan is. And if you want to spend eternity with Satan, then don't get saved. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. You like that old song? I love those old songs that tell me I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I'm going to hang on to it too. So I'm going to heaven. You going to heaven? If you're going to heaven, let's say, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I didn't get saved to miss hell. I got saved to go to heaven. But I know because of what happened to me, I'm not going to hell. To go to heaven, there must be true. And I know that this word should not even have to be put. I have an English teacher who tells me you don't use words that are not supposed to be there. And when I say them sometimes, it sounds like Irwin. I should say Carter County, but I won't. Okay? Don't get me on the English language because that's not good. True repentance. True is not an adjective that should be put in there. That is an adjective, right? It shouldn't have to be there. There's no need for it. Repentance is repentance. It should stand on its own. But I'm going to say true repentance because one time I was reading a book and the author had put in there true repentance and it just had a good ring to it for people who don't know exactly that repentance is a turn completely around and go back the other way. You don't continue on your route. You don't even stay close to it. You don't stay on the same highway. You get off of there and go back the other way. True repentance. So it just had a good ring, so I thought I'd say it for you. God is holy.
Amen.
He's sinless.
Amen.
And he's good for us.
Amen.
He wants what's good for us. Man is sinful. Every one of us. That's old time belief. That's old time religion. And if that's not preached, you're not going to an old time religion church. You're not. Well, with this scripture and this belief, there's something else that comes with that. When you repent, you get something called forgiveness. Now, I would like to ask you sometime, I'm not going to give it to you tonight because I want you to do this yourself. Go look up the word, the definition. I know you know that if you repent, you get forgiveness, right? That you can say that real good. But I want you to go and look up the definition of forgiveness and tell me what it means to you. Don't Google it right now. And you don't have to look it up right now. I want you to look it up when you can think about it. If you repent, you get forgiveness. Wow. That means what you had to be forgiven of is gone. Never to come back again. Never to be seen again. If you bring it up, you're wrong. That's old time religion. That's biblical. I believe that man needs a good, honest to goodness relationship with God. I mean, I'm talking about a God that is fit to be worshiped. Not the gods he has put in his own life, but the God of heaven who needs to be and wants to be worshiped because he is your God in heaven. So, old time religion, going to keep us right there. We're going to get forgiveness of sin and we're going to have that right relationship with God and then we're going to get a life change. Huh? A change. There's no way. And I know messages like this are repeat over a period of time. You've heard this for years and years and years. Well, guess what? You're hearing it again tonight. Is it boring? No. To a born-again child of God, it's not going to be boring because the truth is not boring. It's not. And so I want that right relationship. I want to know that where I am, I'm where I ought to be. And I know if I'm there, there's going to be a change in my life. And everybody who's lost needs a definite change. If you don't believe me, ask somebody who has been living that way for years and treated their husband or wife terrible, treated their children terrible, and all kinds of immoral acts. Ask them how they feel about that. They need a change. Now, you're not going to change just by going to a psychiatrist or a therapist or something and say, I need to change. That's not going to change you. You may in your own mind make a few little changes yourself. They'll come right back. You're not getting rid of them. I promise you they'll be right back. It's like you're like an addict. A sinner, a long-time sinner, is like an addict. We're addicts to sin. Satan makes sure that you stay that way. But if you want to get rid of it, God's the only one who can get rid of it. You can't get it psychiatric out. You can't move it out that way. It doesn't go out that way. It's not a mental thing. It's a heart thing. It's a soul thing. Old-time religion, that's the only way you're going to get rid of it. I want a life change, don't you? He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Wow. I love new. Don't you? I love the smell of a new car. I bought my last one about 6 years ago. But I love to smell that new leather. You know, when you get in, I say, boy, that smells good. Well, I'm just going to go to the leather shop and buy me a new piece of leather. I don't need that anymore. I'll put about 300,000 miles. I'd love to. That'd be good. It takes a while to put 300,000 miles on one, doesn't it? It does. Yeah. Well, anyway, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Isn't that great? That's what you want to get rid of, wasn't it? The old things, they passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Did you notice that word? It didn't mean that all of a sudden everything you wanted to be and do is right there. You're changed. You're saved. But folks, I got news for you. You got to live that life and that you become what God wants you to be. You grow in the grace and you become what God wants you to be. So we got a job to do. We got a life to live. And the old time religion, we teach that you've got a life to live. Your Lord is a constant companion. Sometimes I get in my car and go down the road and I'm looking in the car and there's nobody but me. That's good if they weren't planned. If there wasn't supposed to be anybody in there, you better hope there's nobody in there, okay? Yeah. But he is my constant companion. He never leaves. He's not sitting in the passenger seat. I know some would like to say he's sitting right there. No, he's not. No, he dwells in you. He dwells in you. He fulfills you with the Holy Spirit. He's always there. He will never leave you. He is your constant companion. If you need to talk to him, go right ahead. If you're by yourself, it won't matter to anybody else. You can talk out loud. I do. You ought to hear me around the house. My dog sometimes will look up at me like, who in the world are you talking to? I just like to talk out loud. And I... See, if I love it, that's okay, right? Do you want to have this old-time religion? If you don't already have it, do you want it? Is it something that you see could be good for you? And the answer ought to be yes, of course. Do you have it or do you want it? That's old-time religion, is asking a question that doesn't beat around the bush. Ask it. It's a plain yes or no kind of question, and this is a yes or no kind of question. For with the heart man believeth unto what? righteousness, that's right living. Righteousness is, keep it simple, it is right living. Unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Yeah. With the mouth confession is made. It's important that what goes through our heart comes out of our mouth. And Lord, we speak to you. It's okay to speak to him. You don't have to open your mouth to speak to him because he knows your heart. He knows what you're saying. But he says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that's for us. That's not for him. People need to know you're saved. That's why it's good for a lost person. If you're talking to them, they need to know that you're saved. And it's okay for you to confess to them that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ and he saved your soul. And you are heaven bound. Folks, let's get busy talking about the Lord. I mean, I'll talk with you about a lot of things, but I prefer to talk with you about the goodness of the Lord. Let's talk with folks about that. Can you say, I have old-time religion? Well, if you can't say it, say, give me old-time religion. Give me that. Where's Becky? Give me that. You ready to sing? Huh? Well, let's stand and sing it like we mean it. Now, you've sung that song a long time. I want you now to sing it like you really mean it, okay? Come on, let's stand and sing this. What do you say? That makes you love everybody, right? Say right. Yeah, okay. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for our fathers. Tony, good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Now what will it do? It will take us all to heaven. Come on now, we're going to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Well, 'tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. It's good enough for me. You believe that? I believe it. I do. Yeah. Woo! It's good to see Lynn. Wasn't expecting that, Lynn. It's kind of surprised me, scared me. I didn't know if it was you or not. Okay, we're coming back here Wednesday night, right? That's where we want to be. It's our manner of worship. God's good. Let's don't forget those who are not able to be here. Little Becky is going to be in the hospital again, and she's going to have to go to rehab again. And, boy, I hate that for her. But we'll just pray for her, and I'll go over and share the goodness of God and the grace of God. And some people, the world can't understand that, you know. They can't understand the situation she's in. Why would God do that? He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Doesn't he cause our hearts to hurt for her? If a situation can cause your heart to hurt for someone else, you're blessed. You are blessed. Let's remember that. Anthony, would you dismiss us, please? Amen. God bless.